You're listening to the Scottish Football Forums podcast, the home of Scottish football banter.
Hi, welcome to the latest episode of Scottish Football Forums podcast. We are at season 13, episode 42. I'm John, and tonight joined by Charlie. How you doing?
I'm all right, mate. How are yourself?
Aye, I'm all right. Aye, good for the Monday. We've also got Erin. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
And Laurie, how are you?
Yeah, good. I'm still a little bit distraught about Saturday afternoon, but
you not have a nice weekend, Laurie?
No, it wasn't. Oh. It wasn't great, Erin.
What a massive pity.
I think you was met him a little bit better, and that kind of, smirk across your face at the moment, kind of.
You've beaten us three times, so let us have something. I'm sorry, it was the cup.
Oh well, you can have it. We can wait. It was only 27 years ago we last got to a Scottish Cup semi, so there you go.
I mean, Saturday, like, quite apt what happened on Saturday, because I've been talking about iconic moments. So tonight we have got author of 99 iconic moments in Scottish football, Mark Poole. How you doing?
I'm very well, thanks, John. Thanks for having me.
Aye, no, good to have you. It's always interesting when you get a manager that resigns, or technically resigns in an interview after the match.
Yeah, I know, that was weird, wasn't it? Well, nothing would surprise you about what's happened to Aberdeen in the last couple of months, but yeah.
It's all just a bit of fun, isn't it? Just keeping it interesting for everyone else.
Oh yeah, everyone else is loving it.
And it's actually not embarrassing at all. It's actually just a really big plan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because we're going to win the Scottish Cup and then everyone will be shocked and it'll be brilliant.
Everyone will be shocked.
We discussed this yesterday. Was it? Yeah, it was. I'm sure it was maybe Chris who said it. Someone said, and I'm pretty sure this must be correct, we would be the first team to win the Scottish Cup having had three different managers manage games in that competition, because Robson did Clyde, obviously, and then Warnock, and we'll have someone else. So that's quite good.
Maybe it'll be four.
If Peter Leeming hang on long enough to do the semi, I doubt it, but you never know.
Got a point against Celtic, so I think he's all right. I think it is a bit mental, but a big, big win on Saturday, and I do feel a bit better now. I thought if we'd lost on Saturday, we'd probably lose Wednesday, Saturday, and we're looking at potentially going down. But that on Saturday must have given us a bit of a push. If we get four out in the next two, we'll be okay.
Just be the cup's a welcome distraction for the players, maybe. But right, for a proper introduction, Mark, let the listeners know a wee bit about yourself in terms of your background, in terms of writing about football and maybe even following football as well.
Yeah, sure. I was born in Glasgow, moved to Edinburgh when I was very young, but I'd already started supporting Celtic by then. I was about the only Celtic supporter in a Hearts supporting school, including on Albert Kidd Day at primary school when St Mirren and mostly Dundee did us a big favour and we won the league. And that was one of the earliest iconic moments in Scottish football in my life. But yeah, I got into writing. I worked in London for a website called Football 365 about 20 years ago. And then got back into it a few years later, writing for When Saturday Comes magazine, and I write for Nutmeg magazine on all different sorts of Scottish football. And then my first book came out just when COVID hit. So that would have been 4 years ago. That was Dundee United on this day. And that was basically from growing up during the Jim McLean era, when I thought Dundee United were a big club, and I still feel like Dundee United are a big club, sort of subliminally, because of that, even though they're not that big. But that era really chimed with me, and I fancied writing that book, and I got to write it. And then my second book is 99 Iconic Moments in Scottish Football, which is basically 99 stories that I really wanted to write. I didn't know which ones I was going to write when I started, but I started putting together a list of different ideas, and it snowballed quite quickly. It started actually with a St Mirren idea, of all things. I found out that St Mirren won the Barcelona Cup in like 1926 or something, and I was like, "What's the Barcelona Cup? I'd never heard of that." And I started looking into it, and I thought, there's so many stories like this. I just know there's so many stories, different things, the famous things, the obscure things about all the different clubs in Scotland and international stuff as well. And then I found out that Motherwell had won the Barcelona Cup as well. And in the same week, they'd won the Copa del Rey in Spain, like a sort of unofficial version, but the king was there. The king presented him with it. So I thought, well, that's even better. So that's obviously in there as well. And yeah, it's lots of different stories, all very different from each other, and just the sort of stuff I like researching and writing about, and hopefully people like reading it.
I definitely know it's a fantastic read. I mean, you mentioned in your introduction that there's obviously plenty of moments that didn't make the cut. So maybe it's good to like maybe kind of talk about some of them so we don't give
Yeah.
too much away about the book for those that haven't read it yet.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, some of the ones that didn't make it are quite big things, but I wanted to get a good balance of sort of different types of stories and different clubs. So I obviously, part of that was being a bit more restrained with Celtic and Rangers stories, because there's obviously more of them. There's nothing about nine in a rows or treble trebles or anything like that. You know, it's there's nothing about Rangers or Celtic beating other Scottish clubs quite heavily or anything like that. And then there's also like things that like Hibs beating Rangers in the Scottish Cup final recently. Well, it wasn't that, it's not, I guess it's not about 10 years ago, isn't it? But that doesn't quite make the cut because I've got so many interesting cup final stories and cup stories in there. I didn't want to have too many. And I've also, Laurie, are you a Kelly fan then? I'm guessing.
Yep, Kelly fan indeed.
I've actually left out Killy beating Eintracht Frankfurt. Was it 5-1, 5-2 in 1960 something?
Yep, 5-1, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you how crazy some of the Scottish football stories are. The fact that can be left out,
Yeah.
that's a comeback and a half. If you've never watched it, I know you will have, Mark, but for anyone listening to this, if you've never watched the highlights of that on YouTube, my advice would be do it.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. But
Mark, what
the
happened
thing's,
when you go back,
sorry,
sorry.
John, I was just, there were so many good stories about Kelly from that time, like the International Soccer League and stuff, that's in the book. But there's just, I was in danger of having like massive overload of 1960s Kelly stories. And I had to be a bit careful with the ones that I kept in. So yeah, maybe I'll write about that another time, because that's a good one as well.
Yeah, plenty of stories to tell in East Ayrshire, of course. Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. I mean, there are some excellent, Kelly books out there as well, but there's plenty of stories about Kelly that are untold, of course. I think it was in the 70s. I think Kelly had a trip to, well, what was then called Rhodesia, which I think is the Democratic Republic of the Congo, if I have my geography correct. And only learn about that through the Scottish Football Museum, which is also, they probably won't mind me saying, one of the main guys who runs that is a Kamarnock fan, Andy Kerr, the visitor attraction manager, big Kelly fan. So who knows, you can get some good Kelly stories and bits of old Kelly memorabilia in there as well if you're ever near Hampden, which sadly Kelly won't be this season.
Aye. My father-in-law kind of tells me about that kind of Kamarnock game against Eintracht Frankfurt. I think his dad basically said, "Oh, aye, you come see this team, they're pretty good." And then it was like at the end, it was like, "Aye, you're pretty good too."
Yeah.
It's crazy, like you get these moments that, like, probably folk that are like only maybe kind of following football since the 90s, that they think that football started then. You've got all these amazing moments that have happened, especially in Scottish football. I mean, you mentioned East Ayrshire, so Laurie, we may as well get this out of the way, because your book's pretty, I mean, it's not far off being like pretty much up to date if we can look at just now, and you've got moments from last season. Unfortunately for a couple of Aberdeen fans that are on the podcast, and I knew it was going to be there, is the Darvel Aberdeen game.
Yeah. I actually had I'd already written Stenny beating Aberdeen in the early 90s as my Aberdeen Cup upset,
Are you okay?
and I had to rip it up because I thought it's like I'm gonna
There's not a rule
go.
that you have to have an Aberdeen Cup
Half
upset at all. You could have just not put one in. You
my
almost put
family
in
are
two,
Aberdeen
haven't you?
fans, so my mum's side of the family are all Aberdeen fans, so I kind of I wanted to do it for like a little bit of badness on that side, just to wind my relatives up. But yeah, I couldn't have, left out that Darvel one.
You could. Like, you could have just left it out.
Is this you saying you're not buying a book then, Erin? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to, so normally I read on a Kindle. I'm going to buy it in paper and rip those pages out.
Oh.
I mean, that's the thing about the book, isn't it? I mean, there's going to be things that people aren't going to like. The stuff that I've written there, that I've written through gritted teeth. Other
oh,
couple
have
of
you?
sets.
Did you write horrible things about Celtic? Did you and other couple
Well,
of sets?
there's unfortunately quite a few to pick from, and I did them all. I did.
We actually have discussed iconic moments today, and someone did mention my favourite headline.
Oh yeah. I think another one. You mean supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Yeah, that was good. Imagine coming up with that. Imagine being in your office and you say that, and that's it. I think you'd leave, wouldn't you? That's it. You've peaked. Done.
I did actually find some quotes from the guys who wrote it for the book, which, and yeah, they're pretty modest about it. But yeah, it's amazing. It's an amazing headline.
I tell every single person I knew all the time.
Enough,
I tell
me too.
Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows you how fair a man Mark is, that he includes moments when his own team have like suffered.
Oh, good guy, Mark. Yeah. Wait till your team loses to Darvel. We'll see if you put that in. I want a whole book about
God.
It. If
well,
you
the way things are going, maybe they will.
I mean, I probably will. Aye, right, okay, so I'm going to ask Laurie, just give us one moment just now that is iconic that you think for Kilmarnock. It can be Kilmarnock or it can be any club, or it can be Scotland. Give us one moment.
So this one is going to be Kilmarnock related, and I'm never too sure how iconic this is to supporters of other clubs. If anything, it is probably more memeable, for want of a better word. The kind of Steve Clarke farewell speech, as it were, when we qualified for Europe. Of course, the bye-bye Rangers, etc. Is that iconic, or is it just a meme? I'll let you guys decide.
I remember watching it and thinking it was pretty iconic, because it's not often like you get moments like that where the manager's addressing the fans and he's, I don't know, he's that happy and he basically, a wee bit of get up to you, to another team. So I quite liked it myself, to be honest. Charlie, did you?
Aye, I like it. I've not had the chance to use it yet, but I might use it on Twitter later when Rangers fans are foaming at the mouth about the allocation being cut.
Yeah, that's perfect. You saw it. Perfect. And of course,
absolutely.
And that's obviously precisely what it was. It was a bit of a slap in the face to them, of course it was. But and another cool moment about that, and it was great to be there. The thing is, it may have turned out a little bit differently, because of course, as you'll probably remember, the former Kilmarnock Stadium announcer and now BBC Sports Zone reporter Gavin Wallace was the man on the mic there. It was actually supposed to be Ailey Barber, who worked for BT at the time, but Kelly basically put their foot down and said, no, we're doing it. So maybe, who knows, it would have turned out a bit differently had it been a kind of TV thing, almost.
Again, it's a bit of passion that Steve Clarke has, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. And as much as we're doing pretty well under McInnes now, I still kind of miss the guy, I'll be honest, which is part of why I love going to Scotland games so much now. It gives me that little, you know, little bit of Steve Clarke, which maybe seems controversial with some, but it's good to kind of almost reminisce.
Yeah, it's like an old friend that you get to see now again, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is like that, absolutely. Yeah, it feels like getting to meet an old friend again, yeah.
And it's like a wee bit of pride as well that he was at Kilmarnock, I think. It's
yeah.
Safe to say. A bit like Hibs fans with John McGinn.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone knows, but John McGinn played for Hibs.
I can't wait for your happy birthday tweet. We're looking forward to that.
It's the highlight of my year, to be honest with you. It's the highlight of my year.
So cringe.
I'm trying to think if there's an ex-player that... Did Kelly give happy birthdays to ex-players? I think we might. I'm sure we've given happy birthdays to the likes of Manuel Pascali and, I suppose, former manager Steve Clarke, we're just saying. I think Kelly do that as well with the cringy happy birthday to X players thing. Note to media teams across the country, don't.
Right, I mean, we've spoken about how Aberdeen suffered in terms of like a terrible result in that book. Charlie, it's safe to say that Hibs suffered a wee bit. No surprises what games might be involved. But what would your one iconic moment be at the moment? We'll go over a few over the course of the podcast, but what would your main one be?
I think probably, well, does it have to be in the book? It's probably a good question to ask. Or can it be in
Well,
general?
just one of your own, because we don't want
Oh,
too many iconic moments away from the book, because
aye.
otherwise, folk will know, maybe don't need it as much.
That's very true. Well, for me, it obviously will be the cup final in 2016. Got a couple more, but that's the one that sticks out. Don't think there's a scene like it in Scottish football at the full time whistle when the pitch is full of Hibs fans, which I'm not sure I agreed with at the time, but it was pure exuberance, Rob Petrie said. But just the whole day, just going into that cup final, going 1-0 up so early and then 2-1 down, thinking, oh, it's another year without it. And then just to win it last minute with a beautiful header for David Gray, beautiful bald man. And then to see Hibs lift the Scottish Cup for the first time in my lifetime, hopefully not the last, that was special.
Does it feel
And
more special?
sunshine on Leith as well. I
Oh,
mean, yes, people maybe people, there was mixed opinions on the pitch invasion, but sunshine on Leith, no one in the world could argue with that, surely.
nah, it's, I get goosebumps every time I watch it. I don't know. I think for my money, it's probably the most iconic song in football. I like "You'll Never Walk Alone" as well, but I think just because we're the only club that sings it, I think it holds a wee bit more of a special place in my heart. But it was incredible. And I had when I was down in Aston Villa at the start of the season, there was loads of their fans coming over and said, "Oh, we watched your video at Sunshine on Leith," and they were saying it gave them goosebumps. So it was just so special. What a day.
Did it feel more special though because of what had happened 4 years previously as well? And
What happened? What had happened 4 years previously, John? I've
yeah,
eradicated that day from my brain. No, I think, being serious, I think losing that cup final to Hearts was difficult. And then even losing the cup final to Ross County 3 months before, or 2 months before even, were made it feel even better, because we could have won a double that season, or a treble if we'd won the championship as well. So it was a special one to finally get it over the line.
When we were checking the podcast group as well earlier about iconic moments, fair play to Vinny. Vinny actually included a moment that included his own team, and one of them was in Scottish Cup. And I think even I think most fans probably quite enjoyed it. Maybe the fact as well it was against Rangers, because most enjoy watching Rangers lose. But aye, the sunshine on Leith at the moment. Everyone agrees it's a good song. Erin.
Okay, so got a few. I've not read Mark's book yet,
No,
but
just
I
one at the
ordered
moment. Just one, Erin. See, this is
it. So I've got a few
one
that I'm
moment,
saving up for over the podcast.
right? Because I don't need to. This is what you do, Erin. I'd say one
No,
thing,
I've
two,
saved them
three,
up for
four,
the
five.
course of the podcast.
Right. Okay, we'll see.
We will. I've not read Mark's book yet, and obviously I'm semi boycotting it. I have actually just ordered £13.99 on Amazon. Done. But I'll be ripping out the Darvel part. I've got an Aberdeen one that I only find out about like a few weeks ago. So after Ali Shewan died, apparently Scottish team, well, European teams went to America and played in some bizarre tournament with different names, unsure why, to make like football a thing there.
You can read all about it in 99 Iconic Moments in
Is
Scottish
it in
Football.
it? Oh, good.
Yeah.
Because it's absolutely mad to me that after the club had tweeted something up about it, and I was like, why were Hibs were there as well?
Hibs and Dundee United, yeah.
Or Dundee United, the other one. So
Yeah.
mad. What were we doing?
Aberdeen were Washington Whips.
Yeah, and Hibs were Toronto City. Why were we not just called Aberdeen? Why did we have to pretend to be a different team?
I think to get local fan, well, to get local interest.
The president was there.
Yeah, and Eddie Turnbull went to the White House to meet him.
Actually incredible. Like,
Yeah.
so instead of just doing your normal summer business, you're just having a trip to America, pretending your football team's called something else, and doing a wee tournament with like random clubs.
They were there for ages as well. They were there for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And Aberdeen got to the final, which was 6-5, I think, after extra time against against Wolves, who were called LA Wolves.
So silly.
I know, it's good, isn't
Imagine
it?
getting the phone call. Oh, do you want to come and play in this thing? You've got to be called like a different name, though. And you've got to come here for weeks. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what to call him when I was writing about it. I kept going between the Aberdeen and Worcester Whips. Yeah.
Just
Yeah.
very strange.
I recall having a chat like this before about like if Scottish clubs were to go down the American route of having like names, right? What would clubs go for? Like, what would Kilmarnock go for? What would you call yourselves? Kilmarnock what? Like,
Oh my goodness, what would we be?
I quite like it. I mean, America, the nicknames and all that stuff. I know you've got our nicknames, but they have the full name. Like, we'll probably refer to our teams as the nickname as opposed to the whatever state it is or wherever it is from.
Then as cringy as it would be, we'd probably be like the squirrels or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe
Come on, the squirrels.
Kilmarnock squirrels
Yeah,
or
you
Ayrshire
would be.
squirrels or
We'd be the Aberdeen sheep.
something.
So we're just going down the pure comedy route.
Well, yeah, but
Actually,
it is a bit like I think because in America, football's obviously not their main sport, so they're a lot less like I think they take it less seriously, which is fine. But it is quite. Imagine just phoning clubs up. Do you want to come to America and do this weird tournament? I never even heard of it. Love that. We should do it again.
well, we might well go down that route with the amount of American owners that are in Scottish football. You never know.
Get into it,
Charlie, what
yeah.
would Davis be?
It's funny you should mention that because there was a boy on Twitter or X a few years ago, maybe even recent as last year, that would every time Hibs would play, it was like a fake Ron Gordon Twitter account, which was quite funny. And he used to call us the Edinburgh Hibernators. So I think we would go with that, and I would be all for it.
Edinburgh Hibernators.
Aye.
I'm going to say I'm not 100% where a squirrel's hibernate, but would we basically become rivals then, Charlie?
The hibernation derby. It's got a certain ring to it, isn't it? It would last a bit longer as well because it could be us playing. Mark, what would Celtic be like?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't think I can beat the Kilmarnock Squirrels. I think I'm always going to think of Killy as the Kilmarnock Squirrels now. But
They
yeah,
like to
I don't
call
know.
clubs the Celt the Celtics
The
and
Celtics, yeah,
yeah,
I
in
mean,
America, the
that's
Glasgow
a bit,
Celtics.
the Glasgow Celtics would be the, that's a bit too simple, too sensible, isn't
It actually sounds like
it?
it's a real club, yeah. I'd love
Yeah.
that.
Another thing, I was watching the football yesterday. I was trying to think whether many other teams get referred to it like, but why do Rangers always get called Rangers Football Club on TV? Like, this is a great result for Rangers Football Club. Does that happen to a lot of other clubs? Like, would we
Not
say,
no, and the clubs have been liquidated. I actually don't know. Did they start doing it afterwards? I don't really listen too much.
like, is do we like, do they ever say, like, on media, like, so, say, for example, say Hibs won yesterday, would they have said, oh, that's a great result for Hibernian Football Club? No, they wouldn't.
No, they would have said Rangers were cheated.
Well, this isn't going to age well because this will come out tomorrow, but Hearts have just gone 1-0 up.
Yeah, it won't age well. We'll edit that
Okay. Well,
out.
no, but maybe someone will be watching it on iPlayer and that'll spoil it for them,
And
actually.
then we tune it in to listen to us to find out the result.
Yeah, they'll
Don't
think I've not been able to watch the game. I've been really busy. I won't be able to watch it. I've recorded it on my video. I'll watch it when I get home from work. And then they'll listen and they'll be like, oh, just check the score. I know where I'll get it.
I'm just thinking as well, like on the subject of hearts, if we're talking about the American football names, if we called them Edinburgh Tarts, folk might think it was something else. So we couldn't go down that route. Into trouble. Mark, obviously there's some obvious ones with Celtic, but was there a particular moment that you wanted to include but didn't for Celtic in the
Oh, good
book?
question. I don't
Or
think so
was there one you
because,
didn't want to include, but you did include because you felt like you
well,
had to, for fairness to your team?
yeah, all those cup upsets. So that, I mean, I had to leave in. I know this isn't wasn't your question, John, but yeah, the ones that I didn't want to include that I did include. I obviously had to include Supercalifragilistic Celtic are atrocious, but I actually think Clyde beating Celtic was more of a overperformance from a club than Inverness Kelly Thistle beating Celtic, and kind of almost doesn't get the love it deserves. Well, not love isn't the right word from my point of view, but doesn't get the respect it deserves compared to the Kelly Thistle result because it didn't have such a good headline. But Clyde beating Celtic, that was, they could have beaten us 5-0 or 5-1 or something. They were outstanding in that
Even
game.
we can beat Clyde.
I
What is
know.
that?
Everyone
Remember as
can
well
beat
that
Clyde.
Roy Keane as well, like.
Roy Keane, yeah, obviously thought, oh yeah, this would be too easy for me. And then no, absolutely not. And
I got Craig
but
Bryson on the opposite side.
Craig Bryson was brilliant in that match. He was absolutely superb. And but I think Strachan was just playing so many players out of position because he probably thought it was too easy as well. And it wasn't. And then of course another one that I didn't mind writing about too much was Partick beating Celtic in the League Cup in the 70s in the final. Because Partick were absolutely brilliant as well. And they had such a good team for about a year. And then they all left. And Alan Hansen's brother was playing there and he was superb, but he got injured not long after that. So yeah, there was a few ones that I put in through gritted teeth. But yeah, I didn't really feel I need to leave any out because I mean I don't want to sound like some sort of show off big club fan, but the good Celtic ones are really, really good.
I suppose as well, if you were to include another one for Strachan, it would have been his first game in charge.
Oh right, yeah. Yeah, I didn't really have any cup upsets that were by Slovakian or Swiss teams as well. That's the one I still haven't got over Neuchâtel's Amex, and when they beat us 5-1 in the 90s. I was very pleased when Neuchâtel's Amex went into administration a few years ago, because they hammered us as well in the 90s.
Okay. We'll cover some other moments that people have shared from the group as well. So some of them have been covered already, but one of the biggest ones, and probably everyone would agree with us, would feature pretty high up regardless of age, because you'll have seen it, would be the James McFadden goal against France. Definitely from a Scotland point of view, one of the most iconic moments, and something we've spoken about before many a time, like we had Tom Brogan on recently and spoke about what a kind of special moment that was.
Yeah, it's actually on the front cover of the book, James McFadden at the top, when he scored that goal. And what a group we were playing in then. That was when we were, it was as well as France, it was Italy and Ukraine, wasn't it? That
Yeah,
was
yeah.
that group. Three of the four World Cup quarterfinalists and two of the finalists. And we almost got through. We did really well. But yeah.
Yeah, it was a crazy group, that one. I mean, even the fact that it wasn't their only victory against France and as
Yeah.
well to beat them twice.
That must be the toughest World Cup. No, sorry, it was a Euros, wasn't it? That must be the toughest qualifying group of anything ever. Like two World Cup finalists and another quarter finalist.
I can't think of any more difficult ones that we've had, to be fair, with that. I mean, there's the obvious ones, there's no, but I don't feel there's any point mentioning the obvious ones just now, but one that will make Aaron happy. It obviously makes me happy as well. Just the only thing I'm unhappy about is that I'm not old enough to remember it. Aberdeen's 1980 League win, which obviously broke some kind of dominance between the old firm and started a period of success in terms of winning leagues under Alex Ferguson. I mean, to think again, like if you think like Morrie, can you even fathom Aberdeen winning that league title? Or a team upset
In
and Celtic winning the league.
all honesty, no. And of course, I'm well aware that Aberdeen did it. But of course, for myself and people, of my kind of age, I can't fathom at all. Like, as in, obviously, Kelly won the league in 1965. Of course, we mentioned Kelly in the 60s a wee while ago. I can't really fathom Kelly or a non-Old Firm team doing it in my lifetime. It will probably happen, at least with a non-Old Firm team, maybe not Kelly. But it's something that I can't really see at all. It's obviously it's an age thing, but it really would be nice if the Old Firm didn't win a league. Just for a year, please. Or just start giving out a trophy for third place. I think Steve Clarke would get behind that one from his time at Kelly.
Yeah, I've watched some good documentaries about that year, obviously, and that featured pretty high on Erin, in terms of from your family. Have you had some good stories about that year?
Yeah, my dad's favorite. Well, I did ask my dad about moments. His favorite one, he said, was so unsurprisingly European one, but he said the Bayern Munich one was special. And I think everyone talks about the final, but forgets all the games that led up. My dad said actually, weirdly, we were speaking about this on Saturdays generally about how the season's going and kind of, how we wouldn't want to go down. And I think it's quite iconic that we are one of only two teams never to be at the Premier League. I think the iconic stuff as well, sometimes it's good because sometimes it's the huge big things, like huge big wins or cup sets and stuff, but then sometimes it's the funny little things that I think makes Scottish football more iconic. The European stuff's good because Scottish football, I think, is seen in England and probably Europe as being like not as impressive. So when we do well in Europe, Dundee United's record against Barcelona, that's iconic.
Definitely.
Is that in the book?
Is. The of the four Dundee United victories over Barcelona, it's the away leg in the 80s that's in there. And Paul Sturrock was, what a player, by the way. When Paul Sturrock was just like teaching Barcelona how to play football, basically. I don't think it's an exaggeration.
One of my earliest memories of watching football on TV was that game.
Really? I
I
suppose
had
because Barcelona, I suppose it's Barcelona were so good, but then also you kind of think now, could you imagine Dundee United playing Barcelona now?
No. I mean, there was the friendlies not long ago, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Where, and
Yes.
then they were doing all right in the first half, I think. And then, like, they brought on, it must have been about 15 years ago because Messi was quite young. It was 12 years ago or something. And yeah, Barcelona were having a training camp pre-season in St Andrews, I think. And yeah, they played Dundee United and it was going all right. But they had Ronaldinho, Deco, I think Deco was playing, like all the big names, like Xavi and Iniesta, I think, and Messi came on against Dundee United when Dundee United were possibly in the championship. And yeah.
Think we'd beat Real Madrid now.
What, like, I don't even think we'd beat the Real Madrid team from 1983, never mind the team now.
Like if we had a friendly in the summer, instead of going to America and baffing about in some tournament, if we played Real Madrid for like a special, and we should have done it last year really, shouldn't we? But for like a special game, do you think we'd win?
That a serious question?
I think I've gone mad with beating Killie once and I'm getting carried away. Absolutely lost it on myself now. But it is funny though, but it is funny to think like results like that can happen both ways. But in like Europe, Scotland were really, really good. Scottish teams did well.
It's true what you're saying about Bayern as well, with Aberdeen in that cup run to the final that they won. That Bayern were excellent, and Aberdeen totally outplayed them at
My
the
dad
home.
always says that they underestimated Aberdeen and they didn't
Right.
even kind of bother. So we did that free kick, the really clever free kick move that we'd done the week before. And it's the kind of thing you can only do once, but you can get away with it twice if Bayern aren't really watching. I don't think,
Yeah.
my dad always says he doesn't think that they really took it seriously. They thought it was going to be an easy game and they turned up and were surprised.
But Aberdeen has such a young team as well. They were so unknown. Like they hadn't like amazing.
Neil
Like
Cooper was like 16, yeah.
yeah, yeah.
16, 17, mad.
Yeah, was and Peter Weir, I think, was 18 or 19, and they didn't look like they didn't play like it. They were that young, and but that was an amazing team. That
My dad says that Bayern one at Pittodrie is probably his like best one. If you talk about
Aberdeen.
like European nights, actually the other one that he says he'll really always remember is the Limassol one when we won 2-1. Graham Shinney scored an absolute screamer. Just because the atmosphere, it was really hot, sunny. Everything just sometimes you go to a game and it just feels like everyone's smiling, everyone's positive. You get that kind of, and I think European football brings that. It's a different vibe, isn't it? The European stuff is different. Feels different.
Well, about what made it more special there as well was it was a group of Scottish players as well. Like it's players that like
Yeah,
kind of
loads of young
and
lads from Aberdeen. Yeah.
but that
And about
Aberdeen
the
first
club.
team that won the Cup Winners' Cup, they could have been a Scotland team. That team, they could have been in like just maybe Dick Rigby? Yeah, probably then. He's probably about the least star of all of them, but he could I wouldn't have been you could have seen him playing for Scotland.
Ruby reminds me of him. Not
And
super
you
polished, but yeah, solid.
see, when you look at the team as well, though, they didn't actually accumulate a massive amount of cash between them. Aside from maybe
Leighton.
Leighton and Miller, like the rest of them, for various reasons, didn't accumulate a massive amount of cash.
Was it because Fergie overplayed some of them when they were too young, like Neil Cooper? I don't know.
Don't know whether it was that or just maybe the fact that there were so many Scottish players that were playing for big clubs down south as
Yeah.
well. Plus, because it's the same situation maybe for Dundee United, you probably had Malpass got a lot of caps. I don't even think, like, Nery was obviously a wee bit earlier on, but Nery would have been competing previously with the likes of Hansen and was
Yeah.
it Alberton, I think, for a place. So even the likes of that, Sturridge never got a mass amount of caps.
Yeah, I wonder about Sturridge because I've thought about that a lot because he was kind of. Jock Stein didn't really play him that much for Scotland. And Jock Stein, you know, his history with wingers, obviously, with the Lisbon Lions and everything, he loved a winger. But was Sturridge maybe not quite an out-and-out winger enough, or was he just more cautious with Scotland, Stein, than he had been with Celtic? And it maybe he thought Sturridge was a luxury. But you know, there was in 1986, Scotland took more Dundee United players to the World Cup than in any other club.
Yeah.
Didn't play them all, but.
One that no one actually mentioned in the group, and was quite surprised at, but maybe it's just because of our age then. But 1989, Mo Johnson, ready to return to Celtic, and that's then we know he's signing for Rangers. Like, definitely as a youngster, I mean, I would have been what would have been about 10, and it was probably one of the first moments I remember being like, on the normal news, like you were like, right, what's going on here? What's happened? And like the magnitude of it at the time.
That was about the only thing we talked about at school for about a year. That was that's in the book. That was something I wrote through gritted teeth as well. But just, I mean, it's evidence of different times at Celtic in particular, like that sort of lack of professionalism in the way the club was run. Just parading him around the ground, having him shaking hands and smiling for the cameras and everything, and then not really doing the deal.
Yeah, Charlie, have you seen that? Did you see that? Like, obviously, you're too young to remember it, but you must have seen the furore after it. That was what happened.
I've seen clips of it, but like you say, I was far too young to, or I was probably wasn't even born. Can't remember what year it was.
89.
But I was
I
long,
wasn't born.
long before I was born. But I've seen clips of it.
That's the thing. All these moments that have happened like years ago, I think, oh, imagine like we never have anything like that again. But then all these big moments happen again. You think, oh no, it's fine. Lots of the iconic ones, I think, are the funny stuff that like people will always talk about and remember, and like the kind of more silly stories. Like cup sets are fine, but people do like a little kind of like funny story or something that's a bit more interesting. Because I think English football hasn't got that, not really, or maybe we just don't see as much of it. But I think it is different up here.
I think it comes back to celebrating what's unique about Scottish or different about Scottish football, doesn't it? And a lot of I mean, I live in England, and a lot of folk I know, they love highlights of games where it's kind of like things that they miss from what English football used to be like. Some of it, like seeing more less sort of sterile atmospheres, to put it in a sort of different words to what it actually is. Just, you know, just like proper fans. I don't want to use that term proper fans because all fans are proper fans. But you know, it's just like it's there's more passion. There's more going on, and it's football. It is fun. It's fun football. It's not just sterile. And and all those funny moments as well. Like one of my favourites is the worst refereeing decision ever, which Les Mortram, when Partick were playing Dundee United, and Dundee United scored a perfectly good goal, and a Partick defender picks the ball up out of the net, hands it to his keeper to kick downfield for. To take a centre, to take kick off, and And not only does Les Morton not give the goal, but he doesn't notice the Partick defender picking the ball up with his hands and handing it to his keeper. Doesn't give a penalty, just waves play on. And yeah, that's, I think that's what you're, the sort of thing I think of Everton when you say about those funny moments. And kind of feel quite Scottish those moments as well. And yeah, I love moments like that.
We're quite good at taking the piss out ourselves as well, though, which helps, I think, in terms of like these funny humorous moments. Because speaking about Mo Jones inside of her Rangers, the big one as well, and it's very early on in the book, we're going too much away here, but the fact that a World Cup finalist signed for Dundee, I mean, can you comprehend that kind of thing happening now?
Again, wasn't it long ago either, was it? I suppose it was only 20 years ago. That was crazy. Claudio Caniccia, yeah.
Well, yeah. I think there'll be quite a few. Well, there'll be a few Euros winners playing in Scotland after...
signed for Dundee. We're saying.
Probably none of them will go to Dundee. Well, it's like, did you see when McAllister went back to Brighton and they're all like, Cheney's just got a World Cup medal? That's so weird. Like, not that they're not, but like a good side, but it was just like, it's strange, isn't it? When you get players who are at clubs like that and they go off to do their like international stuff and they're really, really good.
Here with Sebastian Haller as well, going back to Dortmund after he'd scored in the African Nations Cup. But after everything that he went through, it was a nice touch, I think. But aye, going back to Caniggia, signing for Dundee, like, crazy times.
Yeah, I mean, it was there was a lot going on at Dundee at that point. A lot of money getting spent that they didn't have. The Benetti brothers in charge, who, was it Dario or Rivano that was the manager? And
Rivano, the manager, yeah.
Yeah, he was signed not because he knew how to manage a football club, because he never had, but because he just had really good contacts. And but yeah, there was a good possibility that Maradona was going to turn up at Dens Park and maybe even would have got on the pitch. But he got arrested by the Italian... I don't think this is libelous, but he got arrested. The police wanted to talk to him in Rome when he touched down in the airport in Rome about tax issues when he was on his way to Scotland to meet up with his best mate, Claudio. Yeah, so Maradona was on his way to Dens Park, but the Italian police stopped him getting there.
Yeah, and then sadly for Dundee, they went into admin 3 years later because they just spent an absolute fortune on players.
Yeah.
I mean, not even Caniggia, it was just Ravenelli, was it, for Dundee?
Sorry?
Ravenelli.
Yeah, Ravenelli, but that was a little bit later, I think. I mean, it was before they went into administration, but I think Caniggia, and Tamuri Kitsbaya
was
there. Good player. Yeah, and but some of the players that the Benettis brought in, the less famous ones like Juan Serra and Julian Speroni, the goalie, they were excellent for Dundee, and but they just didn't get a decent run of wins because they didn't have an experienced manager. Speroni went to Crystal Palace and they absolutely loved him. He was there for about 20 years, and the fans absolutely fell in love with him. And then he started having friendlies with Dundee, Palace and Dundee, and Dundee would always take quite a lot of fans down. There was a bit of a love in there between Crystal Palace and Dundee because of Julian Speroni, who got signed at the same time as Caniggia by the Benettis.
I'm interested as well to know, because Charlie, as a Hibs fan, the Romanov era on the other side of Edinburgh, what the thoughts were from Hibs fans, or even, you think Hearts fans don't really care about what happened because there was a bit of success?
We had a good spell against him when he was there. I think I don't think we lost. Well, we probably lost a lot of derbies. I was young, I couldn't remember much, but I remember the funniest quote Romanov ever said was that he's going to win Hearts the Champions League. Like, that was when I knew he was some kind of, I don't know, mental case. And then it was nice that they had all that success and then nearly died. I think he was a strange owner. I've listened to a podcast that I think Hartley and Presley done about him, and Hartley was pulled in, asked who should be the next manager. Like, that's one of your influential players. It shouldn't be up to him who the next manager is. But I think he had, I think he brought his son in as director of football as well. It was just a a weird, weird time for Hearts. But like you say, they were pretty successful. They split the old firm as well 1 year, if I remember rightly. Or were close to it, at least.
Yeah, they
I mean,
did.
One of the bizarre stories as well is we had Chris and Nadia on the podcast not so long ago. We obviously played with Hearts in that era. And he couldn't remember what manager signed him because it was hard to kind of keep track of who the managers were. And he said, more often than not, the managers weren't even kind of managing the club. It was like maybe the coaches like Stephen Frail or somebody else within there. It's just maybe jobs like getting handed to Domino's pals or whatever and stuff. But it's an iconic probably in terms of, as I know the moment, and there's some moments covered in the book. Just crazy.
That was an iconic period in Scottish football, an iconic period in Hearts history, which was just pure box office for everyone in Scottish football. It's where do you start with that Romanov era? Because there was so much went on. The way he talked about the press and everything, the way he talked about his conspiracy theories about the monkeys in the SFA controlling the puppet journalists and all the things he came out with. And the tragic thing about it is that Hearts fans actually got they wouldn't change it because they survived and they got a cup or two cups out of it. Yeah, two cups.
Two.
Isn't it?
Two,
yeah.
Right.
And they're laughing about it now when really they spent money they didn't have for years and years and years. Spent huge amount of money they didn't have and just basically got away with it. But then I shouldn't say that's a tragic thing because a lot of the reason why they got away with it is because the Hearts fans rallied and pulled together, much as it,
yeah.
I say it's through gritted teeth. The Hearts fans deserved to save their club because they really stood by their club when they had to. Fair play to them. But yeah, what a period that was. That was just pure box office.
Laurie, how would you feel if someone came up 1-0 at Kilmarnock and did something similar, but you got a bit of success?
I'm not really sure how I feel, to be honest. Of course, Romanov was kind of, as you put it, box office, and it would get some eyes on Kelly if something like that were to happen. But I mean, I don't know how I would feel. I mean, it's one of these conversations that I've had a few times with the likes of my dad. Like, well, how would you feel if Kelly were to be, and this won't happen, if Kelly were to be taken over by, I don't know, like, you know, Saudi owners or whatever, you know, similar to like what say Newcastle have now, right? You feel like it would almost take away from your club a wee bit. Yeah, you might get success and have all the money in the world, but it takes that something away. It almost makes it feel like what you get down south, where it's more, you know, sterile, sanitized, and just corporate almost. It kind of takes that kind of element away from it. I mean, with Kelly just now, I mean, I can't complain about, you know, where we are kind of boards wise with, you know, Billy Bowie and Co. They always are, you know, looking after the club and, you know, with the best interest at heart. And Kelly, and I know we've discussed it on the pod before, are very, you know, community focused. And I almost feel like if you were to get some investment of that sort in, you pretend to lose some of that. Maybe having a Hearts fan to talk about the Romanov era would be useful there, but I kind of feel that you kind of would start to feel a bit of a disconnect.
Yeah, I think so. Mark, what would be your favourite iconic moment that was outside the top league, so in the lower leagues? There's a fair few in the book.
Oh, yeah, there's a fair few in the book. I mean, in terms of smaller clubs, I do really like well down the leagues, this is. I think I forgot my other. So far down the week, I've even
don't
forgotten.
Don't say Darvel.
no, I'm not going to say Darvel. It's, they're from the Borders. Fishing Town begins with an E, just north of Berwick. This isn't good, is it? I've forgotten what they're called. They did really well in the Scottish Cup in like the early 60s. Eyemouth United, I remembered. So Eyemouth United made it to the Cup quarterfinals, I think, against Killy. In fact, when Killy were going through their amazing period when they were beating Eintracht Frankfurt and just about to win the league. And Eyemouth from, yeah, fishing village of the same name. They got through a few rounds in the cup. It's kind of like that sort of. I really like it because it's like a sort of children's story. It's like a romantic story. It's almost like a club that feel to people who don't know them a bit like they're made up. All these part-time footballers who are fishermen, and they actually one of, you know, one of the things that's brilliant about writing books like these is going through old newspapers and finding articles that really put the colour around these things.
Yeah.
And the piece I really liked for that was in the Daily Mirror sent a guy up from England to report on it, and I just loved the, he got an interview with like the groundskeeper at IMS, and he was saying, "I we're going to be piling up the fishing crates as stands." So they actually got fishing crates, but it sounds made up because it's like a stereotype about what a fishing village would do. But they did. They built up stands with fishing crates and to get like a couple of thousand Kelly fans and stuff. And they only lost by the odd goal, I think. But yeah, just a bunch of part-time footballers from a fishing village and just were doing really, really well. And I just really like that because it feels a bit like a sort of there's that Steeple Cinder how Steeple Cinderbury Cinderbury won the FA Cup book. It feels a bit like that. So
Yeah.
yeah, that's yeah. Like we're saying, I did want to get a lot of stories from the lower leagues in as well as the big famous ones.
Yeah, there's a good mix in terms of like throughout the section of Scottish football, which is good. I mean, obviously, one of my favourite would be Talbot being there in the Scottish Cup and the scenes that were there. It was tremendous, especially after Ian McCall being at the clubhouse like a few days before as part of the kind of radio, and he was pretty confident. They were, I think, first or, I think they were about second in the league, maybe even top. So it was like a great moment. Plus, it won a few quid for everybody in the village. You
Nice.
can't beat the cup upsets. Charlie, what was your favourite? Have you got an iconic moment that you'd think? I know I never asked this before, but favourite one, not including your own club?
Well, I was actually thinking about my next one, and it does not involve my club, but it involves my club stadium.
Right, okay.
And it was last season when Jim Goodwin got sacked at Easter Road, and it's just the scene of him walking across the pitch, climbing over the advertising hoarding. It's just superb. I think it's iconic for all the funny reasons. It was great, and the interview with Cormac on the radio that followed, where I don't know if he's actually crying or if it's crocodile tears that, but I think the whole thing was just, for anyone that's not of Aberdeen persuasion, it was just brilliant. But I can imagine for Aberdeen fans, it's not that iconic. But aye, that was brilliant.
I actually had it on my shortlist, but it was funny. Yeah,
The
and then
thing
what
that
was iconic?
sticks in my the thing that sticks in my mind about that is that Jim Goodwin had a really nice bag. He had a really nice sort of shoulder bag, and
Jim Goodwin, you
it
know
just
what? Say we won, always looked 10 out of 10.
he did, yeah. And
Deep in the crack time.
it just made it seem even more incongruous, the fact that he was stepping over the advertising hoarding was the fact that he was so well dressed.
And the
Anyway.
fact that he went into his own car. He must have drove to the game.
Do you think he knew he was going to just be going
I
home by
think so,
himself
aye.
afterwards? Yeah. It reminds me of Pedro Kachina standing in the bush as well. He was really well dressed.
I
That was
liked
my
that one. That was
that's
also on my list.
my favorite iconic moment in Luxembourg was football. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good one. Erin, have you got any favourite moments that would not include Aberdeen?
Yeah, I've
Iconic.
had a couple. This one is a recent one.
Right, okay.
It's Lawrence Shankland catching the pie, eating the pie. Yeah, I don't want, because that is Scottish football. If someone said to you, someone who had never heard of football in their life, and they said, "Explain Scottish football," show them that, and that would do. That would be more than enough. It's absolutely brilliant. That is iconic. The catch has a bit of the pie as well. Could be poisoned, but it wasn't. It's very good Scottish football content.
Sure.
He
Oh,
did.
yeah, the fire is a park, is that like it in Edinburgh?
What was that?
Are the pies that bad in Edinburgh that they need to be thrown?
Well,
I don't think anyone should be throwing pies. It's a waste.
He said it
What's
was
that?
a spicy. He said it was a spicy pie, so I can only imagine it was a kebab one. But which, to be fair, if they're throwing a kebab pie, they're wasting a good pie because they're pretty decent. But
They're also
aye,
like
it was.
£4.50, so
Oh, tell me
brilliant.
about it. Aye, that was funny.
good, wasn't it? I liked it a lot. Just
I don't like stuff being thrown at, I don't like stuff being thrown at players, but to see him catch it, yeah, and throw it back, that it gave me a wee chuckle. Although
I also
just
think
conceded.
doing that is totally backfired driver through it. So you'd be like, well, I look stupid now. He looks cool. I look like an idiot. He's iconic. All my mates think I'm stupid. I think it'll stop people throwing stuff.
You'd hope
I just
so.
Think it was, I just think it was great though, isn't it? Like to have a bite of it, oh, just very good.
Yeah. Laurie, have you got any favourites that would not include your club that you can think of?
One thing that I kind of thought of as an iconic moment, and I think Joe and Nick may have been the first thing that we actually, you know, met each other face to face. Scotland, Georgia, of course, in the peeing rain.
Yep.
And the ironic part of it was, and you may well have been the same, Joe, and I was actually one of the probably few people in the stadium that night who was as good as bone dry, and managed to, you know, sit the whole time with, you know, Scotland's top on and not having to frantically look for a jacket or whatever. I mean, that, like, I don't know, 90-minute delay or however long it was, I don't know. Does anyone remember how long it actually was?
I think it was 90 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, about 90 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, that 90-minute stoppage is just going to be iconic, of course, where the referee, looking back from now in hindsight, well, he shouldn't have started the game, but probably after about an hour of like sweeping the pitch with, you know, brushes, leaf blowers, and whatever else you could find, the referee was clearly happy with it. And then we had, of course, the Georgian players not wanting to come out, and then, you know, but just that night was iconic, and we'll never hear Travis and "Why Does It Always Rain on Me" in the same way again.
Yeah, I will never be allowed to forget the moment I said in the group chat that day, "By the way, you don't need a jacket tonight."
Was Hampden not the only place in Scotland it was raining at that point as well?
Some stat on like the next morning about how it was the most amount of rainfall to fall in the shortest period of time over the smallest area. Like it was basically just over Hampden. It was absolutely mad. I've never seen rain like that, like in this country. Like you've seen it abroad when it's just like a mental, but it normally dries up really quick. I thought it was never going to stop.
Yeah, because
like, it was like bizarre. Like it wasn't just it's pouring. It was proper like weird freak storm. It was awful.
It's got to be one of the most iconic European Championship qualifying group campaigns of all time. That as well, the Scotland campaign. I mean, the Norway comeback as well, quite apart from the obvious Spanish.
Spain, yeah. There'll be a stat about that being like one of the longest games as well, surely, stoppages, or there must be.
That or the Rangers Dundee game earlier this season.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the
Rangers Dundee. Which one was that?
It got delayed kickoff because
Rangers were late getting to
and then it got postponed for 15 minutes because Rangers lit off so many pyros, and then they got a penalty at 10:45 at night.
I do remember that actually. I was at Motherwell 4-2 away that night. Yeah, I do remember that. A lot of things that you think possibly the turning up late and the 15 minutes with the pyro maybe should have just been sent home. But, well, no, I remember that. That photo is insane of all the pyro. Obviously dangerous and not allowed, but looked insane, didn't it?
Yeah,
that Georgia one will definitely be. There'll be a stat for that. Like, there's loads of things like that. There's lots of good like stats about this was the first time, or this is like this team's never lost to this team. There's lots of good things about that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to try and look for stats on that. But I do remember, as you were saying about it only rained, you know, at Hampden, I do remember getting a text through from my twin sister saying, like, enjoying your shower, and a photo from, like, you know, looking out our living room window with the sun being out. And, like, in between, you know, Glasgow and Kilmarnock, there's not a great deal of distance. You think if Glasgow was getting a biblical, you know, bit of rainfall, Kilmarnock would be not exactly far behind. But no, it seems to literally just be the National Stadium, which is surreal to be to say you were there. Although I certainly wasn't, as I was saying, I certainly wasn't one of these people who were using the Hampden toilets to actually wring out their Scotland shirts and whatnot.
It was honestly horrendous. I remember getting home and it was awful. What a weird night. The weather is dead. The weather must make Scottish football a bit iconic, I think. Like some of the stuff you'll see, like people trying to clear snow. Like you get some nice ones. Like you'll see like everyone in the community was out like clearing the pitch for some like Lowland League team and stuff. The weather definitely is one. I actually think, and I know it's bad and UEFA gave us in trouble, but the snowballs at Helsinki away is
Yeah,
like.
that was, I was about to say that was brilliant, you know.
The club said to them, by the way, you'll need to clear all of this. So obviously they like have a chat in the afternoon, just make sure everything's fine, everyone's okay, everyone knows what's going on for the evening. You'll have to clear all this snow because our fans will throw snowballs. Apparently they were like, why would your fans do that? No, they wouldn't, it'd be stupid. And they're like, they will. No, your fans wouldn't do that, it'd be silly. So they were warned. That was good, wasn't it? It was quite funny.
I mean, you. I know they've got like regulations to adhere to, but UEFA should have livened up a bit there. Come on.
Also, like, surely they could have known that was going to happen. So clear the snow. Why would your fans do that? Maybe in Finland they don't. Maybe nothing that's maybe it's not as iconic there. Those kind of things though are good and stuff that comes like I think you'll get like good songs or good like banners that kind of thing like things that just come out of like things that have happened. People are quite good for that in Scottish football. They're quick. We had Dundee away on the Friday night, December ages back. That must have been 2017, maybe. Ooh. And Derek McInnes had turned down the Rangers job on the Thursday night. And Rangers put out that statement saying how it was they were looking for a manager concomitant with a big club. And in the space of the Friday morning, someone I know was involved in this, pulled together a concomitant U Reds banner and had it down the road. And I think that's good. Scottish football's good for that. People are good at like little jokes and all those kind of things that like make it, I think, fun.
Yeah, but in Scotland we can have a laugh. You can't beat Scottish humour at all. And again, that's just another one of these things that you don't get down south. They'd probably find what we do quite vulgar, but we're proud of it.
Right, let's get our Nostradamus on here. What are going to be the iconic moments in Scottish football in 2024? The main one, obviously, is going to be the fact that Scotland opened Euros against Germany. But can we think of any other potential iconic moments that might be this year?
When we win the Scottish Cup and take group stages off Hearts? Potentially, that could be, well, that could happen.
Would that be iconic? I suppose. We've not won the Scottish Cup for a while.
Finishing 10th, winning the Scottish Cup to take the group stages after this season with three different managers. Yeah, that's iconic behaviour.
Right,
It's a
okay.
bit mad and a bit embarrassing, but it would be good. Love that.
Don't get us the wrong way, but it would be even more iconic if you did it after going down, because then you would be,
No, so I've spoken to people about this, and I
in the
think John will
European group
agree.
stage in the championship.
No, like Birmingham, gross. No, thank you.
Birmingham did it. Wigan is a European qualifier when the championship, didn't they?
Not doing it. I actually have asked people this. This has been my question of the past week, and John, I think, will agree with me. Would you rather win the Scottish Cup and go down or stay up?
It depends who you support, doesn't it? As a Celtic fan, I would rather stay up. We've
Yeah, so
got
that's so
how
I think
many?
everyone
Yeah.
except Celtic, Aberdeen, and probably now Rangers would say stay up and no cup because we've never been down, us and Celtic. And obviously Rangers, I think, would say stay up. But I would say,
It would probably be
I
stay
would say
up because I
stay
would
up.
worry for our future if we get relegated.
That's the other thing. You go to the Championship, look at Partick down there for ages. Dundee United took them a few tries last time. I think you want to stay up, especially because we've never been down. So that's what I would pick. But I would like the cup as well.
I know what Dundee would take. Dundee would win the
What
cup, wouldn't
yeah.
Yeah, because
What would
they're
you? What would
quite
Hibs? What
used to
would
getting
Hibs
relegated.
take? My fully supporting pal in my office said cup, by the way, and go down.
Win the cup every day.
And go down.
Hibs have
We
gone
were,
down tomorrow, so it's like not
Aaron.
really.
We were in the championship when we won the cup, so it doesn't really bother me if we go down. Like I had great times in the championship. It's a great league. You'll love it.
No,
Surely
thank you.
Hibs,
No,
Aberdeen,
thanks.
Hibs, Aberdeen and Hearts don't have to worry about getting relegated that much because they will come back, those three. Like,
Probably, but it is still the worry, isn't it? Going down, what happens? Like, so I know I would say, I definitely would say stay up. But as Derek McInnes said, I can have both.
And it's a bit of a shame that, you know, that comment, of course, after Aberdeen beat us, maybe didn't age too well. But I've got to say, I did absolutely love that the other day. But as for what I would take, as much as I was bemoaning Kelly's rather poor Scottish Cup records, you know, in recent decades, I probably would rather stay in the league because, I mean, as much as Charlie might try and tell you the championship's great, trust me, it's grim. I mean, and I mean, yes, we yes got out over the person of asking, and yeah, beating our broth was a cool moment. But I mean, we made the championship look awfully difficult. I don't really want to go back there, to be honest. Plus, I know it's just one of the kind of consequences of having a league of 10 teams, but I don't really want the season to end like in the middle of April either. It's just weird.
Okay. Well, about going back to the crystal ball, what's your crystal ball for 2024 iconic moment that could happen, Laurie?
Don't know. Let's have a think. I'm trying to think of something outlandish that could potentially happen. No, I'm trying to think of something good here, and I can't now.
We can
Just
come
trying
back to
to.
you. Have a think.
Yeah,
What
I'll come
about
back.
Scotland getting out the group stages?
Yeah.
Scotland winning the Euros would be iconic.
Yeah,
Well,
Scotland
Scotland's
winning the Euros for that one.
doing something very impressive at the Euros. Scotland's getting out of the group stage and then beating a top team in the knockout stage. That would do me.
Getting out of the group would be class.
I have said it's one something I want to see before I die is just get that's sad like for like most countries that's maybe worrying out or getting to semi finals for Scotland it's like just get out of the group stages, just once please.
The amount of times we've qualified for tournaments, like going back to, you know, like between 74 and 90, every single one we qualified for it, and every single one we went out in the group stage. Went out in 1974 with a win and two draws and no defeats. The only unbeaten team at the 1974 World Cup. Like if that kind of sets the tone for we're never getting out of the group stage. So if we get out of the group stage this time, yeah, that'll be it'll just get rid of that monkey on our back when it albatross around our neck, whatever it is. But
Exactly.
and then if we can beat like a top side, which we've got the talent, if we injuries permitting, I think we could do it.
Yeah. Charlie, have you got the crystal ball moment for 2024?
David Martindale does one interview without talking about his budget would be quite
I like that one. Mark, can you think of anything that could happen in 2024 that would be iconic?
Well, no, I mean, I don't know. I do hope something happens to the Euros. I mean, that group though is so, our group could go anyway. I think it's really evenly matched. And I think, yeah, injuries permitting, we could do something good at the Euros. I mean, it could be anything, couldn't it? I mean, will it be Wraith coming up? I don't know. Does that count as iconic? Partick Thistle maybe getting to a playoff final and not giving away a 3-goal lead in the last 5 minutes or something.
Right.
That, yeah, I'll have that.
But actually, interestingly, did that playoff final come too late for your book?
Yes, it did.
Would it have been
Yeah,
included, do you think?
maybe,
Maybe.
maybe. I did. I did think that's the most Partick thing ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I do. It's simultaneously funny and sad, which is the most pathetic thing ever.
I'm trying to see if there's any other moments that we've not discussed that other people have come up with. Tony Watt's going against Barcelona came up. That was no surprise. That was from Chris. Vinny mentioned the game in Estonia, which obviously lasted 3 seconds because of the whole floodlight debate from 1996. Don't know whether younger folk have heard of that. Laurie, you heard of it? Charlie, yet?
Yeah, I have heard of, well, one team in Tallinn, I believe, is that
Yeah.
the kind of. Great name, I have heard of that, yes.
It's that like ex-Rangers fan Scott mentions Rangers winning 9 in a row, which was iconic at the time. What else was there? Motherwell's 41 in the cup final 1991, Scottish Cup final.
Yeah, that was brilliant. I remember it very, very well. It's in the book. Yeah. Ali Maxwell playing with two broken ribs, I think.
Yeah.
The Motherwell keeper. And that was just that was a brilliant, brilliant cup final.
And speaking of Motherwell, that has brought something to mind. And of course, Charlie probably thought it before me. Of course, there was the 6-0 game in with 2010. I
Aye.
mean, it's even as someone who doesn't support either of those two clubs, it's good fun to watch that back when like Sky Sports occasionally repeat it.
It was a whirlwind night. I remember listening to it on the radio because it was midweek, so I never went. And 6-2 up, thinking, oh, great, this will be a brilliant result for us. And then Motherwell miss a penalty at 6-5. And then Lukas Jukovic scores one of the best goals I've ever seen to
It's an amazing
equalise.
that goal,
So
isn't it? Yeah.
unbelievable. Aye, what a game for the neutral, obviously. But
Yeah.
aye, it's a
Who
iconic score.
was Ibs manager then?
J
Was it
John
Oakley?
Hughes,
John
Woodward John
Hughes. Yeah.
Hughes.
And he says it goes to show us that you can a 6-2 lead is never you're never safe with a 6-2 leader, something like that.
There's
But
a
close
good
to that as
story.
well, there was Motherwell 5 Aberdeen 6 round right at the same time
Yeah.
as well, with Andy Gorham and Jim Leighton.
There's a good
I
story as
know.
well from Europe, actually, when we had the 5-1 game, and there was some guy that a couple of players I think knew used to come watch games. I don't know if I've gotten the full details of the story, but he said to Neil Simpson, they were like, oh, great result, really good. And he said, need to be careful, that away goal might cost you. 5-1, that away goal might cost you. I think iconic scores, the 4-3 Killie Cup game, 100%. That was insane. That was one of the last few pre-COVID.
It
And
wasn't
we were 1-0 down, 2-1 up in extra time, 3-2 down, looking at penalties, 4-3 up. Insane.
yeah.
The 5-5 had Rangers was iconic as well.
Oh, yeah, I was at Celtic Park that day. And we had
Surely for.
to match Rangers' result, but we assumed Rangers would win. So we were 1-0 up and our whistle goes, and I didn't even know what had happened at Easter Road because it didn't matter even if Rangers had won. The last I'd seen, I think they were 5-3 down. It was absolutely, the game was insane. Were they not 3-0 down at half time, Rangers?
They were 3-0 down within 20 minutes, and then we missed a Stephen Whittaker puts one over the bar for about 2 yards out, and then Rangers scored two quick goals, and they went 5-3 up. It was absolutely mental. And then I left it 5-3 because I usually leave when Ibs score two or more down, and then I got on the bus and McLaren had just put the fifth in, and then
That
Neil
the one
Lennon's.
where, yeah, that was the one afterwards where Lennon was going mental, like
Lennon done his
playing on the, yeah.
airplane. Yeah, airplane
Yeah,
that.
that's iconic.
I described that in the book as a match of three halves, or a game of three halves, because it was like,
It was
you
absolutely
know.
mad. And I was at Celtic Park, very little signal. And it wasn't until I came out, I saw these messages. I draw it, yeah. Mad. That was a great end to the season, that one.
Going back to Scotland, Dave has mentioned where it all began for the latest era, the one in Serbia. Because that just has been iconic in terms of not just that moment, but I feel it's been like now a prolonged moment of
Yeah.
iconic success. Let's hope I can continue.
I think it's also iconic because we all watched it at our houses.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Like, could they go to the pub or fans couldn't they travel?
Yeah, I think that is what makes it iconic. Everyone remembers kind of, sitting almost like sitting down like kind of days of old school TV where it's almost appointment viewing. And if I remember rightly, I think Sky actually made it free to air as well. So everyone basically sat and watched that. Everyone remembers watching those penalties. The whole nation basically holding their breath or crapping themselves. Which one? I'm not sure. Or perhaps they're both. Just, oh. But I mean, one thing I will say, and this is maybe controversial, I'm not a fan. I keep you keep hearing this person's name crop up again. I'm not a fan of all Nick Burney, right? But he must have done one of the best penalties. Well, he probably did the best penalty in that shootout. I mean, and he's the guy that we probably, well, probably not just me, probably quite a lot of us had the least faith in.
Yeah. Very briefly on the note of Scotland, squad's getting announced tomorrow. It'll be today by the time folk are listening to this, or maybe even in the past. Any surprise names, do you think? Anyone?
I'm going to go out in a bombshell and say Lauren Shanklin will not make the squad. He probably will, but I think Steve Clarke will just, like, Steve Clarke will play selection tombola and he'll not get picked at the tombola ball. Laurie, do you expect anyone to be a surprise in this squad?
I mean, I would like to see some surprises, but I don't see, even for a break with two friendlies in, I don't see Steve Clarke kind of really deviating from the status quo too much. That's one thing I will say, for better or worse. He always kind of like just sticks with what he has, doesn't really experiment too much. I mean, of course, as a Kelly fan, I would love, even if it is just be a one or a two cap kind of wonder, I would love Danny Armstrong to just get a cap. But it won't happen. As much as you could argue about him deserving it, it just feels like it won't happen. But this would be the time to do it. Because with the Northern Ireland friendly, you could have Danny Armstrong going up against Matty Kennedy, potentially.
I think the big thing that it can depend on is what size a squad the nations are going to be allowed in the Euros. Because I looked at the AFCON, and AFCON squads, they were allowed up to 27 players. So there could maybe be a room for a wild card, maybe somewhere. I don't know where a mark, do you think anyone might have played away in the squads?
I don't know about anyone who's played the way in, but is Callum Patterson still playing? Because I've always been a big advocate of having Callum Patterson in the squad, because just to a big man that you can throw on to do something completely different. Although I suppose maybe Lyndon Dykes satisfies that role a bit now, but Callum Patterson, I always thought you could do loads of different things. Not the most talented player in the world. I suppose Tony Watt's probably missed the bus now as well in a similar vein. But there's Ryan Hardy down at Plymouth. He's I mean, same division as Lyndon Dykes, and Shea Adams and Kevin Nisbet, who is looked like he might do something in Millwall, but isn't really at the moment for one reason or another. But yeah, Ryan Hardy at Plymouth, he's been playing really well, and I don't know, I don't know, I but I think yeah, probably Shanklin does trump him at the moment, but he I think he will be someone that Steve Clarke's keeping an eye on.
Yeah, Erin, anyone you think might be considered that's not already featured?
I don't think there'll be any real shocks. Trying to think if there's anyone that could pop. I
Keep in
think.
mind, Callum McGregor, I think, will miss the fixtures. So I don't know whether there's
Yep.
room for extra midfielder somewhere.
I'm trying to think who's kind of missed out recently that we've thought that seems a bit of a shame. Danny Armstrong, I think, is not 100% a no.
I
Could
mean,
be a possibility, but
let's hope Steve Clarke's listening.
feel like he'd be on Steve Clarke's radar. But I don't
You'd
think
like to
people will be
think
shocked
so.
by it. He's loves a little throw himself to the ground, have a whine, doesn't he? Can't take a throw in from where it went out either.
I mean, to be fair, and I'm happy enough for this to be on record. I kind of think he learns that off of Chris Burke, actually, from. Because I mean, it always has that little bit of, it always that bit of, lip with the linesman, and a little debate over where the throw-in to be taken. Although on the game on Saturday, I'm not entirely sure what he was booked for. Dissent, allegedly, but I mean, he was down getting treatment, right?
Well, there was a lot of missed opportunities for come on out booking, shall we say. An interesting refereeing performance.
I mean, to be fair, the one near the end of the game,
The one on Shinny is evidently
that
being
no, that I will say it now, and I don't even mind if it annoys some Kilmarnock fans. Graham Shinnie was spot on with that.
Yeah, it's a free kick, and the referee's got it wrong.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think there'll be any massive shocks. The one I think, well, what will be interesting is when we actually go to the Euros, who plays. I'm a
Ah,
huge fan of Lewis Ferguson,
that's a
and
thing
I
for later
really
on.
want to see him playing now to kind of get himself in a space.
Yeah, that's becoming the big question, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
because he's going to have to be playing quite a bit now to kind of be there for actually playing in the Euros. But I think he could do. I think, I mean, he's brilliant.
And if with the fact that McGregor's out, maybe he might put Ferguson in the starting lineup, but we shall wait and see. Before we wrap up, anyone get any questions for Mark? Any fun questions, football related or non-football related?
I've got a football-ish related one. Have you
Right.
ever had any iconic pies at the football, Mark? Or other food? So maybe did something different in Scotland, or you've been abroad and had something cool.
Oh, I'm a massive fan. In a football context and in a non-football context, I'm a massive fan of macaroni and cheese pies. And
They're iconic.
four cooked
Oh,
do a
back
good
in
one, but I don't think
the
they're unique.
good. That chapter's getting kept. She loves a macaroni pie.
I didn't actually
Yeah.
know. I also didn't realise until one of my friends sent me a message. She sent me a photo of macaroni pie. She went, "Is this a macaroni pie?" Yeah, and I was like, "Yeah, why?" She said, "Oh, one of my friends got one from Scotland." And I was like, "Do you actually just not have them?" "No, they don't." Weird. Delicious.
Yeah, one of those things you assume is just normal everywhere. Yeah.
I've had it on good authority that as of next season, Aberdeen's catering will extend its offering and will have pizzas. Very copying of Hibs, but yeah.
And I believe I've not tried them. They're only in certain parts of the ground. I think it's only in the Frank Beattie stand at Rugby Park from what I hear. There are like pizza slices and stuff on offer at Rugby Park. But I so Hibs were probably first though. As for macaroni pies, I've never tried one, I will admit, but I honestly think it sounds like a kind of culinary crime, really. I've never tried one though.
It's
It's,
a crime that you've not had one. They're delicious.
is
You
it
know what
just
I
an East
tried?
Coast thing?
I apparently, so my friend in like my friends in England were like, "What?" I wonder if maybe north of England they've got them, but like, yeah, they don't have them. Lasagna pie baffled them as well.
Well, see, on the subject of that, the other week I had a lasagna pizza and it was absolutely superb.
Yeah, that sounds a bit more up my street than the macaroni pie. And I would try the lasagna pie as well.
I make a good
You need to have a
haggis lasagna.
macaroni pie before the end of the season. They're very good.
Right.
What was that, Mark?
I make a good haggis lasagna.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's a
And I would eat
non-football fact for you. Yeah.
that. Just get that recipe sentence, forget
Yeah. We finally
the
hit gold,
podcast,
finally struck gold, yeah.
You could do a fusion cuisine cookbook. That's what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's fusion.
Yeah.
The next 10 people that buy the book will get that recipe.
Yeah, free haggis lasagna.
I'm gonna tip X out all the Darvo bits and write in the recipe for the haggis lasagna. That'll be much better.
Right, Charlie, any questions for Mark? Football or related?
What's one Scottish football game you wish you could have attended and why?
Oh, good one.
I mean, it would have been Scotland beating France with the McFadden goal, I think is the. Or actually, Hibs beating Rangers in the Scottish Cup final.
I was not looking for
Or
that as an answer,
really
but
wide,
I'll take
but
it.
yeah. But that, I realise that's two. Yes, for one. But is that all
That's all right. I mean, we're used to wearing, aren't we? Have two answers when there's only one required.
I think sometimes it's good to have a list or a top five, for example.
Laurie, any questions for Mark? Football or non-football related?
Yep, so this one is kind of football related. It may well kind of be almost like half book related, actually. So we're obviously talking about iconic moments in your new book, but who would you say is the most iconic Scottish football character? This could open a can of worms for you all.
Oh yeah. I would probably say Chick Charnley.
All right. Hands up.
Just as a character, as opposed to as a footballer. I mean, I think my favourite story about Chick Charnley was the worst Glasgow story of all time, when Partick were training just down the park, and some lads turn up and start giving them grief, and Chick Charnley tells them to rethink what they're thinking and go away, and they come back later with a samurai sword, but Chick Charnley fights him off with a not even a real full size road cone, just one of those little training ones, I think. Flights them off with a cone. And yeah, that's that. I mean, that doesn't happen at Arsenal, does it? No.
Not at all, no.
Oh, at St Mirren, you get javelins thrown at players, remember? This is an iconic moment. Right, okay, to finish up, I'm going to ask you, this is our section we call Desert Island Dicks. So we want three albums, a book, and a film. I'm not going to ask the game because you've mentioned a couple of games you would maybe like to attend. So three books, sorry, three albums, a book, and a film.
For a desert island. Right, three albums. Right, probably go with. I mean, I could have loads, but I'll go with the ones that are most obvious to me. Nevermind by Nirvana. Stone Roses by Stone Roses. You can tell when I grew up, can't you? And an Illmatic by Nat. Wu-Tang's Clan's debut album. Thingy Chambers, Thingy 36 something, can't remember what it's called, but
Okay.
the Clan's debut album. Book, probably Jim McLean's autobiography, Jousting with Giants.
Okay.
It's pure Jim McLean. It's just like ranting about everything, and just like so honest, and yeah, and a film. My favorite film changes on a daily basis. Let's say The Lion King, because that was definitely my favorite film at one point. And I love the
Okay, no worries. I wasn't expecting The Lion King, but that's fine.
soundtrack. Yeah, I got it on John to go with Nirvana and the Wu-Tang Clan.
It's a very good
I'm
Lion King's a very good film.
Yeah, so very good. The animated version, not the remake.
Oh, not like the one that came out a couple of years ago.
No, not the live action one. No, that's all right, but yeah. I'm all about the animated version.
Right, okay. So the book, where can everybody buy it? Where's the best place to buy it?
You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Waterstones if you like. It's in Waterstones in Scotland, I think, in actual shops.
Yeah, I've
But
seen it in Watson's. Yeah.
I've just seen it on Amazon and purchased it, but there'll be the reply to the pages to go. Yeah. You'll have to check to see what's on the other side of those pages. Make sure you don't. Maybe you will need to get your Tippex out.
No, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to print out a photo of Boyan Majovsky and stick it over it, and that'll do.
Fair enough. Yeah.
No, but thank you very much for coming on. Good to have you. Hope you enjoyed it.
I did. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Lots of iconic moments. Thank you, Erin, Charlie, Laurie, as always.
Thank you. Nice to be on a Monday after a win.
I wish I could say the same.
Sorry, pals.
You're beating the Kilmarnock squirrels.
Gathering sheep against the Kilmarnock squirrels.
Yeah.
I think
I love that kind of comedy.
to be fair, you would always back the sheep to win there, of course. I mean, we can get too used to beating Aberdeen, can we? It's not something that we ever really did until this season. And it's probably one last season. But anyway, yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure. But hopefully the next time I'm on, hopefully Kelly have picked up a result and are maybe a little bit closer to Europe. Oh, I've just said that on record now, haven't I?
Yeah, right. It's out there for everyone. So we'll leave on the note of squirrels conquered by sheep. It's nuts. Happy football.
It